In 2015, we asked Rob Coughlin, the former president of the Surfrider Foundation, to come and give a talk at the Cranky Kids Radio Club in Los Altos, California. Rob Coughlin is an environmentalist, a political pro, and a surfer. And the kids wanted to ask him about what the Surfrider Foundation does, and also about surfing in general. And he was more than happy to sit down and give them all the answers they needed.
When was the Surfrider Foundation started?
About 1984. I was president for the first 6 years, so till 1990. Yes.
What gave you the idea for the Surfrider Foundation?
Surfers are not team players. It's not a team sport. A sport player, you play baseball or soccer. Surfing is all individualistic. It's just you and the wave. So it tends to attract people that are loners. So surfers don't have much in common with each other. But the one thing that all surfers have in common is that they all fall in love with the ocean. And so if you fall in love with something, if you really love it, and then you see that there's problems, then you want to do something to help solve the problems and to make it better. So if you see a dead bird on the beach, you wonder what killed that bird, or dead dolphins. Sometimes you see dead seals that have been partly eaten by sharks. But what makes the surfers active and interested in helping to protect the ocean and make it better is because that they love the ocean. They love riding waves. Riding waves is a wonderful thing to do. Has anybody ever tried surfing? Oh, a bunch of you. Oh, we got a whole bunch of surfers.
How many members are now in the Surfrider Foundation?
65,000. And we have 200,000 Facebook friends. And we've won some good fights to make the ocean better.
What do you need to do to get into the foundation?
Ah, that's the hard part. You got to be a surfer. No, you don't have to be a surfer. You send them your membership fee and they'll send you stickers and newsletters and things like that. I think it's $20, something like that, to belong to the club.
If you belong to Surfrider, what do you do?
Well, it depends. We have members all over the country, all over the world now. And so they all do their own things in different areas. So in a lot of areas, they'll have groups get together and pick up litter on the beaches. They do beach cleanups. Sometimes they'll go and talk to their politicians about making the laws better to help protect the environment.
What would we get to do?
If you joined the Surfrider Foundation, well, we'd make you come over to Martin's Beach over in Half Moon Bay, and we'd make you help clean up the litter.
We've heard about the recent fight about access to Martin's Beach. Can you tell us more about it and how it affects our future access to the beach in California?
Sure. Okay. What happened here is there's a little beach just south of Half Moon Bay, just on the other side of the hills here, called Martin's Beach. And it's a beautiful little beach with pretty rocks and nice tide pools and seals basking on the rocks. And it's been a very popular beach for many years. And a man bought the property along the beach, and then he didn't want people to go across his property to get to the beach anymore. Well, in California, we passed a law back in 1972 that said everybody in California owns the beach. No one person can own the beach. We all own it. It's ours. It's part of being a California person. In other states, back on the East Coast, like in Connecticut or New Jersey, they have private beaches. But in California, we don't have any private beaches. They're all owned by us. So when this man stopped letting people go down the road to the beach, they arrested some surfers for going down the road. And he put up a gate, said no trespassing and nobody allowed. So the Surfrider Foundation, which is the organization I helped start, we started protesting. And we sent the guy letters and said, look, you know, we can work this out. I mean, you can let people go down to the beach. And there's no problem that people go down to the beach all up and down the coast. But he wouldn't listen to us. He wouldn't even pay any attention to us. So we had to take him to court and sue him in court. And we won the case in court. The judge said, no, these kids are right. You have to provide access. That means letting people go down the road to the beach. And he still won't let people go down to the beach. So we're going to have to fight him some more. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep on fighting until we win. And that's part of what I was saying before, is that surfers love the ocean. They love riding waves. And if somebody says, no, you can't go down the road to the beach, we're going to protest that. We don't like that.
Is there a different road or something that you could go down?
Not there, because there's cliffs all along the beach. And so there's only one road that goes down to the beach. But yes, that would be a way in other beaches, but not in this particular location.
Where is this property? Is it right on the road?
Yeah, he bought 40 acres of land along the edge of the beach, but he can't own the beach because the public owns the beach. So he can own the property that you have to walk across to get to the beach. So that's what they mean by public access. And we say the reason that public access to Martin's Beach is important is for the same reason that public access to Yosemite is important. It's like if he bought the property around Yosemite and then said none of us could go there anymore. We wouldn't like that. Has anybody ever been to Yosemite? Yeah, and you know how great that is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you not like it if somebody said you can't go there anymore? Yeah.
Is there any other high-profile case that Surf Rider has won? Can you describe it?
Oh, yeah. Up in Northern California, way up by the Oregon border, there were two big factories, paper pulp factories. They made paper out of trees. And they were polluting the ocean and putting all this stuff in the ocean so that the waves were turning black. And the kids that were surfing up there were getting sick and they were getting eye infections and skin infections. And so me and the Surf Rider Foundation took them to court and we busted them for 40,000 violations of the Clean Water Act. They violated the law 40,000 times over a 10-year period. And we said, no, we don't like that. We want you to not do that anymore. And we want you to clean up your factories. And we want you to do some other good things. So we made them put about $100 million worth of cleanup technology in their factories. We made them pay about $5 million in penalties and fines. We made them build a community and ecology education center. We made them print all their progress reports on recycled paper. And we made him build the surfers solar heated showers so that he could rinse the polluted water off their bodies. So yeah, that was our biggest win.
Are there any other cases?
We won some other beach access fights. Like in Santa Barbara, there was a real estate developer that wanted to build houses along the beach and he didn't want the surfers to come through to the beach like over at Martin's Beach. But we made him build trails on both sides of the property and build a little bridge. And so yeah, we've won a bunch of fights like that. There was also a movie maker, a guy named David Geffen, that wanted to build a house along the beach down by Malibu. And they said, okay, well, you can build the house, but you have to provide public access. And so he said, okay. And then he built the house, and then he wouldn't let people come down to the beach anyways. So we had to fight him on that, and we fought him for a long time, and we won. I think we'll win at Martin's Beach, too. I'm confident that we'll win.
So you've won a lot of cases.
Yeah, we're pretty tough.
Can you tell us about more ways that people try to block our access to the beach? We've heard about fake driveways and things.
That's true. And
why do they not want us to go to the beach?
Because they feel like they want the beach all to themselves. They don't want any people on the beach. They like to look out and just see it without people on the beach. And what they'll do, sometimes they'll paint the curb along the houses red so you can't park there. And it's not really illegal, they just paint them reds to discourage people from parking. And there are a couple of cases where they built fake garage doors, so it made it look like it was a garage door, so you couldn't park in front of the garage door, but it wasn't really a garage door, it was a wall. So they try to trick people into not going down on the beach. It's too bad because if they want to have a private beach, they can move to the East Coast and move to Connecticut or New Jersey. They could have a private beach, but I think California is better because everybody owns the beach.
Besides access to the beach, what other fights and concerns does the Surf Rider Foundation get involved in? What about plastic bags?
Yeah, there's a part in the ocean that's filled with plastic bags and bottles that's twice the size of Texas.
That's right. There's a couple of them, and they're called gyres. And a gyre means it's like a slow motion whirlpool just moving around real slow. And you're right, it's about the size of Texas, one of them. And that's from people dumping litter and not recycling. So one of the things that we try to do at the Surf Rider Foundation is encourage people to recycle and not to litter, not to throw plastic bags out and not throw garbage around, to treat the ocean better because the ocean has a lot of problems. Part of the problem the ocean's having is from the pollution that comes from all the cars. It's called acidification. That means acid coming down into the ocean. And the turtles eat the plastic bags.
But I love turtles.
Yeah, we like turtles, right? So the Surf Rider Foundation is involved in all of the issues to help protect the ocean because surfers love the ocean.
Is the Surf Rider Foundation only in America?
No, all over the world. As a matter of fact, we have some members now in Israel and in Palestine, on both sides of the borders there. So yeah, I saw an article about surfers in Sierra Leone in Africa, where they had the Ebola problems. Well, these kids said that surfing was making them so strong they weren't getting the Ebola.
Do you surf occasionally?
Oh, yeah. And I'm still pretty good at it. I got a good wave, I don't know, a month ago. And I rode it all the way to the beach and I didn't fall off. And I only got one wave that day, but I'm like an old fisherman that only catches one fish and he's happy, right? I have ridden some big waves, and surfing is a very exciting thing to do. And it's a hard sport to learn. You can't learn it. It takes a whole summer to learn how to do it.
How long have you been surfing, and when did you start?
I started surfing when I was not much older than you. The last time I went out surfing was about a month ago. So I've been surfing about 55 years. Long time.
Did you play any other sports before you got into surfing?
I tried skin diving in the ocean. I liked that. Skin diving was a good sport.
What is skin diving?
Oh, that's where you go down with fins and a snorkel and a mask, and you swim around down underneath and just going under the water, like with an aqualung.
Skin diving is you're not in a wetsuit and you usually have a snorkel and you have a limited amount of time that you can be underwater.
You just take a breath and swim down and swim around. And scuba diving means scuba stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Oh, wow.
Scuba. And it's a wonderful sport. Going underneath the ocean is fabulous. It's like Disneyland under there.
Does every surfer in California know you?
A lot of surfers know me, yes. I've been written about a lot. If you tell the surfers you know a guy named Birdlegs, they'll know who you're talking about. Because that's what the surfers have always called me, Birdlegs, because I have skinny legs like a bird. Surfer nicknames are often based on some description of what the surfers look like. So one of the great big wave riders in the Mavericks contest that's coming up is a guy named Flea. And they call him Flea because he's a real little guy.
How many boards do you have?
I only have two boards.
How many have you broken?
I've never broken a board. A lot of guys break their boards, but I've never broken a board.
That's kind of weird because everyone tends to break their board sometime.
The kids now are riding smaller boards and they're real thin and they break easier. I have a longer board, an older board, and it doesn't break. And if you don't wipe out, you don't break your board. So I'm a pretty good surfer, so I don't wipe out very often.
Have you ever changed your board or have you always used the same board?
No, I get new boards every once in a while. I have a friend that makes all my surfboards. He's made my boards since I was a young guy. And so when he starts making surfboards, I get him to make me a new one. I'm trying to get him to make me a new one now.
I read a book about skateboarding that said it originated from surfing because not everybody could surf.
Exactly, that's true. Surfing is a lot like skateboarding. When we were kids, they didn't have skateboards that you could buy in the stores. So we would make skateboards where we'd get a 2x4 piece of wood and we'd go and get roller skates from the Goodwill and nail them on the piece of wood. And they weren't nearly as good as the boards that they have now. So skateboarding has evolved with technology, and the surfboards have gotten a lot better too. The Hawaiians invented surfing. The Hawaiians get the credit for surfing. They get credit for aloha, which is a good idea. It means hello, and it means goodbye, and it means love, and it's got a lot of meanings to it. But aloha is good, and surfing is good. And the Hawaiians invented surfing about 1,000 years ago. And we didn't find out about it until 1778, when Captain Cook found Hawaii and then wrote about it. And then the first surfers in California came here in 1885. Three Hawaiian princes came to Santa Cruz and surfed in Santa Cruz. So the first place in California where surfers were in Santa Cruz.
Do you watch any surfing movies or TV shows or TV channels and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love surfing movies and surfing magazines. And my favorite surfing movie is a movie called The Endless Summer. And it was made back a long time ago, but it's a good surfing movie.
I watched a movie that was called, I can't remember what it was called, but it was about this girl who was surfing and she lost one of her
arms. Soul Surfer?
Soul Surfer, yeah.
Yeah, a shark bit off her arm and she's still a great surfer. Yeah, Bethany Hamilton, her name is. Yeah, and she's a good surfer. It's amazing that she's learned how to surf and stand up and with one hand. I mean, it's hard. I can't imagine being able to do that. So, yeah, it's an amazing story.
Have you ever encountered a shark?
I have encountered 10 sharks over the years, but I've never had any trouble. I have one friend that got bit by a shark.
Don't sharks only attack you when they smell blood or something?
Well, that's what they say.
You're just like...
Yeah, they think you're a meal.
When you met the shark, what happened?
you're like a goofy cartoon running across the top of the water carrying your surfboard going, hooey, hooey, hooey. It's very scary. The biggest shark that I saw was from about here to there. And I paddled up over the top of the wave, and it was in the next wave. And the fin was sticking about that high out of the water.
Oh!
But I didn't know it then, but it was not a man-eating shark. Most of the sharks are not man-eaters. This was like a whale. It ain't plankton. It was a nursing shark. So they're not dangerous. So a lot of the sharks, most of the sharks aren't dangerous. But I didn't know that when I first saw it, and I was sure scared. Sharks are scary. And if you see a shark, you don't have to be able to paddle faster than a shark. You only have to be able to paddle faster than your friends.
Yeah.
I've got a shark tooth. You can pass that around. Oh, and I was going to say, if you're going to be a surfer, you have to learn how to be good swimmers because we don't want you to drown. I've almost drowned a couple of times. And that's scary. That makes you feel humble.
Hmm? Are you really strong?
Am I strong?
Yeah,
I'm pretty strong. Look.
That's scary.
When you're surfing, what to you is the most dangerous part that you want to avoid?
Probably more people get hurt by their own surfboards. I broke two ribs one time when I was kicking my own board around, and I slipped and the board came around and hit me in the chest and it broke two ribs. So I think the most dangerous part of surfing is your own surfboard and falling off and getting hit by your own board. Yeah, there's some dangers involved in surfing. It's not like a Disneyland ride where there's excitement but no danger. There is some danger in it. You always have to treat the ocean with lots of respect because the ocean doesn't care if it'll kill you very happily. It's not concerned about you at all. So you have to treat it with respect. I got you some surfing stickers.
Yay! I can put it in my sticker book!
Don't put them on any place where your parents will get mad at me, the ones that... See, that's a wave there.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Well, I went over to the beach yesterday to get them for you. Oh, are you going to take a picture of me and the kids? Good.
Praise, 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 praise.
That was Rob Coughlin being interviewed by the Cranky Kids Radio Club of Los Altos, California in 2015.